strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raider. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
In honor of tonight's edition, I'm going to call an audible right off the top. I'm going to violate my own rule, self-imposed rule, hashtag no math. I'm going to start with a stat here.
You're
on the
going to change the play, Paul.
Right at the line of scrimmage, right here, Wolf. Hopefully, you're deep into your playbook. You know the game plan, because I'm starting with the following holy cannoli stat. You realize that only three quarterbacks in Arizona Cardinals history have gone six times with a passer rating of 90-plus in a single season. Do I need to name names?
No, you do not.
Well, it's Carson Palmer.
Yes, of course.
It's Kurt Warner.
Ding.
And it's the future of football, Kyler Murray.
Oh, Paulie, which one of these is not like the other? Let's put it that way. You think about it, right? It's a great, great little stat, Paulie. Kurt Warner came here. Would you say he was a grizzled veteran when he came here?
I would say he was a grizzled veteran, yes.
Not over his prime by any stretch of the imagination, as we all witnessed.
Sure. Yep.
No, as we all witnessed.
Yeah. Yep.
Certainly not done being the key quarterback that he's been, but a grizzled veteran nonetheless. And then Carson Palmer. Oh, yeah. Carson Palmer showed up here. He was a grizzled veteran. Kyler Murray, and this is one of the reasons why the Arizona Cardinals are so exciting to so many analysts that are out there. Kyler Murray is 22 years old.
Because you know what? We can call, and accurately so, Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer grizzled. But a lot of the rest of the country, when they came to the Arizona Cardinals, they weren't quite as nice. They were using words like washed up, over the hill. And you know what? Carson and Kurt proved them wrong.
Exactly right. That's my point.
There's no doubt about that. You are absolutely right on that. But it's a totally different dynamic and equation when you have a kid coming off his rookie season, the offensive rookie of the year, when he's putting up passing numbers as a rookie on par with some of the best seasons ever by Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, and they certainly don't go by the moniker, come for the arm, stay for the legs. You would never say that about Carson Palmer or Kurt Warner, so when he has that added dimension to his game, Kyler Murray, think about what that portends potentially.
It's amazing. He's a scheme changer is what he is right there, Paulie. A defensive coordinator's got to scheme differently against the Arizona Cardinals than a lot of the teams in the league. And we're seeing this transition now at the National Football League level where you're getting quarterbacks more and more that can use those legs, right? And that's changing defenses. It's changing how they scheme against an offensive football team. And I think over the next 3 to 5 seasons, Paulie, we're going to see a complete shift from any type of statue quarterback, pocket passer that we see today to now suddenly this multi-dimensional quarterback and offense.
Well, if you're a defensive coordinator, who would you rather game plan against? Who's the bigger headache? We'll continue. Just getting rolling. Kurt Warner on tap a little bit later in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Garoppolo out of the shotgun, takes the snap, drops back to throw in trouble, and he is hit, and he is sacked back at the 5-yard line by Jordan Hicks. Snap to Garoppolo, short set, looking left all the way, throwing left, intercepted at the 10-yard line. It's Hicks bringing it back to the 20, 30, 40, Hicks at the 50, Hicks' third interception as a Cardinal.
So remember when the Cardinals, just under a year ago, signed Jordan Hicks, and what was the knock, the big knock on Jordan Hicks?
Let's see, he couldn't stay healthy, Paulie. That was the knock on him, correct?
durability, you're absolutely correct, Ron Wolfley, as we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, and we will be joined by Kurt Warner in a matter of moments on this very show. But if you go back to 2019, you realize Jordan Hicks, in the face of all those question marks, all he did was go out and start all 16 games and total 150 tackles as the epicenter of the Cardinals' defense at middle linebacker with 1.5 sacks, 3 interceptions. He had 11 tackles for loss, 7 quarterback hits, 6 passes defensed, on and on. It was a career high and ranked 3rd in the NFL, those 150 tackles.
What's so amazing about it as well, he didn't have a ton of help on that on that defense. And I would say inside that box, Paulie, and yet he was calling all the plays as well, making all the adjustments, getting everyone else lined up. He just truly a slam dunk for the most part from Steve Keim and the Cardinals.
I mean, think about it. At the end of the season, we were talking about this on Cardinals Underground, the podcast. Think of the interior D lineman that surrounded Corey Peters by the end of the season. Yeah, the likes of Michael Dogby and Miles Brown and Caron Reed and Zach Kerr. So, I mean, a lot of journeyman defensive linemen that if you're going to get 150 tackles, think of back in the day when Ray Lewis was, for example, one of the best of all time to do it. But think of some of the defensive linemen in front of him, keeping offensive linemen off him and allowing him just go sideline to sideline and wreak havoc.
No doubt about it. And now all of a sudden, if you can actually get an inside, weak side linebacker, right? I know that Hassan Reddick is still a possibility, but I can tell you right now, I think the Cardinals are going to look for somebody that is going to come in and challenge that weak side, right? I think that's a serious possibility beyond a shadow of a doubt. I think they'll take him, obviously, and move him up onto the line of scrimmage. That was something we saw at the end of last season. I think that's only going to get expanded for Hassan Reddick. They're going to look for that weak side, inside linebacker. What an important position. Think of Jägermeister. Do you remember, right? Sideline to sideline, making tackles out of the field, and that's exactly what they need from that position.
I mean, maybe a Corey Littleton, not to name names and usurp the process, but a guy for the Rams who could fit the bill there. We'll see. We know this much, that the Cardinals are gaining steam and momentum as a place to be, and we got evidence of that on the NFL Network in the past week. In fact, here's Peter Schrager, and the question was about, okay, free agent destinations, where would you pick?
The Arizona Cardinals are going to be the hottest offseason destination for free agents this offseason. Kyler Murray's a young quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury is a player-friendly coach. The environment, you're living in the sun, and they've got a ton of money to spend. They're young. Cliff is not trying to be a dictator. Let's just have my way or the highway. He's showing that you could be nice to the players, and the veterans can experience both fun and have possible success. Cool new offense. Arizona Cardinals, not the Chiefs, not the 49ers. Arizona Cardinals will be the hotspot. Not the Vegas Raiders for a lot of free agents this offseason.
Before I give a sign, do they have bags of money?
They got money.
All right, then, okay.
Ding, ding, ding. There it is,
yep.
Paul.
Yep. Let's reverse
engineer. That's the one.
We'll reverse engineer it. Let's start with the money.
Start with that.
Start with the money. $50 million plus reportedly. Could become more depending on what other cuts and trims you make to the roster and the salary cap. But they have the availability. And from all accounts, from the outside looking in, if you believe some of these national guys, because we know it internally, there's the desirability of people to come into the Cardinals for all those reasons and more.
Yeah, Paulie, you know, first and foremost, is this a mercenary league? That's a question you've got to ask yourself. Is it a mercenary league? Yes, it's a mercenary league. And because of that, you better have money. You better have the green. Ding, ding, ding. That's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals have. As a matter of fact, they're number 9 in cap space, money that they're going to be able to use to go out and sign these free agents. I think then you look at the coach and you say, okay, what kind of coach do you have? Peter Schrager, I wouldn't go as far as Peter. He's nice to the players. I'm sorry, Paulie. I'm just saying, yeah, does he have a fruit break? Does he have a break? Yes, he does have that. But
well,
still,
it's hydration and nutrition. That's what it is. Okay. It just happens to be on a cart.
It's still, he treats men like men. He says, I expect you to go out there and be ready to do your job. And when you get the opportunity to do your job, you go do it. That's what he expects. Listen, Bill Belichick is like that. Bill Belichick doesn't try to motivate you. He doesn't try to tell you what to do. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about your family. He doesn't care about your kids. The only thing he cares about is when you walk into that building, when you walk into that facility, what are you doing and what kind of effort are you giving? Now, that's a gross simplification of the facts, but I believe Cliff Kingsbury is like that as well.
There are different ways to be a player's coach. And Cliff Kingsbury, by all accounts, is a player's coach. Now, is it because he's nice to the player? No, that really, that's a distant consideration.
Do you think he gets after some players? You know, yes, he does get after some players.
Hey, and we saw it. If you weren't producing, you weren't on the field.
Amen.
And so in that way, that's all the motivation you need, is because now all of a sudden that threatens your job security.
And then, Paulie, you got the young quarterback. You got the young up-and-coming quarterback. That's got to be attractive as well. And speaking of attractive, Arizona in the fall, moving into the winter, ain't a bad place to be now.
I tell you what, you come out in the spring right now for a recruiting visit. Yep, that's enticing as well, based on the weather. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? How about quarterbacks of days gone by? A guy currently wearing a gold jacket. None other than Kurt Warner will join us next. We'll talk about Kyler, the Cardinals, the state of the game, the state of the quarterback position next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert.
Kurt Warner with an absolutely perfect pass right onto Muddy. Old Graybeard looks sharp, doesn't he?
Is Kurt Warner sick or what?
Oh, Kurt, you have to be kidding me right there.
Great throw by Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner using the kung fu grip. You want to talk about cool as a cucumber in the refrigerator.
The gloved one leading them down the field again.
Wow, Kurt Warner isn't in the zone. He is the zone. Kurt Warner could throw a Twinkie into a toaster. I mean, this guy is on fire.
Plenty of highlights in the Jim Omohundro archive.
Oh, yeah.
On the Cardinals Radio Network. Yes, we're talking about a guy who's known for Super Bowls and MVPs, a gold jacket now, a movie coming out, a big charity night later this month. You know what I think of, though, Ron Wolfley, here on the Big Red Rage? Not only that Kurt Warner was once upon a time a guest, a live guest of Bertrand Barry back in the day on the Big Red Rage.
That's right.
I always think of the Super Bowl 43 bus ride. Follow me on this.
Okay.
Leaving the hotel, on the bus, and so many nerves, so much anxiety, you could cut it with a knife. And then one of the last guys to board just strolls on without a care in the world. It was Kurt Warner. And I swear the entire bus exhaled. Were you aware, Kurt? I'm just right off the top. We know you're doing well. We know you're busy. But were you aware that all eyes were on you during that Super Bowl 43 run? It's sort of the compass for all the guys who had never been there and done that before.
Yeah, I mean, I think I understood it to a degree. I think part of the joy for me in going to that Super Bowl was actually watching everyone else. You know, that was one of the coolest parts of the process, you know, from walking, walking into the airport where we get our own private plane, seeing the send-off that was there when you arrive in Tampa, when you take over somebody else's facility, you know, you go to the stadium and, you know, got the big boards of different players on the team and just watching all of that through the eyes of everyone else because, you know, I honestly don't believe anyone in that organization ever thought they would be there. You know, no matter what you can say, nobody believed they would ever be there. And so to watch them in fascination on what that was like, what that process was like, was awesome. I mean, it was one of the crown jewels on my career was being a part of that and seeing people start to believe something that they never believed before. And so, I think you understand that as you're going through the process. And, you know, with that team, a lot of what we did went through the passing game and went through me as a quarterback. And so I understood my role in all of that. And so, yeah, you accept that, you relish that, and you hope that, you know, some of that can kind of drip off on some of the other guys as, you know, you go through that game. And then more importantly, as those guys move on in their career, that now they're seen and they can handle those situations and handle young guys that are finding themselves there for the first time.
Kurt, how often do you allow yourself to reminisce about this stuff? Do you think about it? Do you wake up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat, thinking of that Super Bowl? How often do you reminisce about this stuff?
Here's the thing, Wolf, is I actually think more about coming back and playing than I do the time that I played. I feel so good. You know, I was out on my field in my backyard today with some college guys that I was working with, and I really feel like I could play right now. And so, I go to these training camps in the fall, and I want to go over and, tap one of the coaches on the, shoulder and say, hey, can I just get 10 7-on-7 plays?
That's awesome.
Just give me a chance to go back. I just want to see if I could still do this. And so, those times were great. And, of course, there's times that you reflect on that. Of course, covering the game, being down at the Super Bowl all week. They show highlights of different things. You start to reminisce about all of that stuff. But I'm also removed from it enough that I'm focused on a lot of other things. But I still love the game, and I still love to play. And now that I'm coaching, I got a son that's a quarterback and working with different guys, pro and college. I'm out there, working out, and I feel great. And I just, sometimes that's what I think about more than anything is like, man, could I still play? Could I go out there and handle another season? It would be, just be kind of fun because I love the game so much. I love the X's and O's, and I feel so good.
We're going to have to break out that toaster again, Paul.
I still don't know if I've ever done that. Pulling out the Twinkies in my kitchen. I don't know if I've pulled that one off yet.
All right, so we had Jake Plummer on last week, Kurt Warner this week. Jake, talking about Kyler, said that it was Kyler's confidence that jumped out at him more than anything else. How about you? What were some of your big takeaways on Kyler Murray's, his Rookie of the Year campaign?
I think the biggest thing for me with Kyler is that he's just such a gifted thrower. I don't think he's really scratched the surface on how to play the position yet, what he's seeing and how to get through reads. And, that's the scary thing is that here's what he did, and he's Rookie of the Year and, puts up some stats that, we don't see very often. But I still think he's learning how to play the position and see defenses and react and throw on time. But what jumps out at you is he's just a gifted thrower. He can do things with the football, different platforms, the size of his arm, the accuracy that he has from those different platforms is rare. And so I'm really excited knowing you can do all of this and have this kind of success at this level without truly understanding the position yet, that if he can come to understand the position and grow every year with that, man, I don't know what the limit is going to be for this young man. I mean, I just think he's really talented physically. Now the mental side needs to catch up, and when that does, I can't wait to see what he looks like, what he is as a quarterback when that happens.
Kurt, based on the offense that you saw from Cliff Kingsbury at the beginning of the season in 2019 and how it finished in 2020, talk a little bit about that, the development, the evolution of that offense, and where you might see it going in the offseason.
Well, I think there were some good things. I think they moved the football really well. I will say it had a lot more of a college feel than I expected, but they did a lot more of that more consistently than I thought they would. A lot of the screens and things were just a big part of what they did in the passing game. I think that was one of the reasons why they struggled in the red zone, especially early in the year, but before they were running the football well, is that, you got to be able to do some different things. You can't just think we're going to have better athletes and so we can throw it out in space and those guys are going to win all the time. That can be good for getting first downs and moving the chains, but they have to get better in the red zone and figure out how to dial up some better concepts and plays to play to their playmakers down there. And, of course, you run the football. That's always been the case, no matter how good you are. If you can't run the football down there, it makes everything really, really hard. And so that's where I look for the most improvement. And I think they'll just develop in the other areas. I think, coaches always have, or offense coordinators, guys that call plays, always have fallbacks. When they're not really sure what to call, they always have certain plays that they'll lean on. I see it at every level. Saw it at the NFL level, see it at the high school level with guys I coach with. It's just like, they don't really know, they're in this part of the field. They don't really know what to call. I can promise you they're going to give you this. And I think that was kind of what Cliff fell back to, was one of our screens. We're going to try to keep people off balance and use motion and get a guy out in space and see if we can make a play that way. And as he gets more comfortable with schemes and how to attack defenses in the red zone, I think he'll get more creative there, and I believe they'll have more success in that area. And that, if with that growth, coupled with the way they were able to move the football, it'll be exciting to see what they can become offensively.
Right. Kurt Warner on the Big Red Rage. We're already hearing it, Kurt. Patrick Mahomes in year two, Lamar Jackson in year two, tick tock. What's coming with Kyler Murray in year two? Is it realistic and plausible to think that he is poised for a monumental jump in his second season?
I don't think it's crazy. I mean, obviously what he did as a rookie, and as I said, that feeling like he's got so much room to grow that he could become that next guy. But I'm also very leery of throwing guys into, the mix with Patrick Mahomes. I think is ahead of the curve, and he's a unique player. Is that he's good inside the pocket. He's special outside the pocket. He's got a unique skill set. He also sat on the bench for a year. So even though we say year two, really is year three mentally for him and what he was able to do. Lamar Jackson, I think he's still learning the position too, but they became an offense that was, played to his strengths. And so I think that's why he blew up in year two. I still think that Kyler's going to need more help if he's going to blow up. They're going to have to find those go-to guys on the outside. They're going to have to run the football the way that they did and help him so he can be able to make those plays with his feet. So I still think they may be farther as a team away from allowing Kyler to maybe play at that breakout level than the Chiefs were or the Ravens were this year. But I don't think it's out of the question to think that he's going to make some big strides and could have a really good year considering what he did this year as a rookie, that it could be much better than that.
Kurt, we got about 1 minute here, but what do you think the Cards are like in terms of a free agent destination?
Yeah, I think it's always a great place. I think the tradition here has changed since that time we went to the Super Bowl and what people see and believe in Arizona. I think when you have a young, dynamic quarterback, that also changes things. Everybody would love to be in Arizona, and they love the atmosphere and the community here in Arizona. You believe they have a good team. Yeah, they've got some good pieces. But the biggest thing is, do they have a quarterback that you believe you can win with for the long haul? And I think that, to me, is what makes this destination exciting, is that they need some more playmakers. They need some guys to help fine-tune this thing. But you're going to have a guy behind center for the next 10 years that will give you a chance in most football games. And that, to me, ups the stock of wanting to be a part of the Arizona Cardinals astronomically, and puts you at a good level compared to other teams in the league.
Yeah.
And you know what, Wolf? You were here for it, so you know this. For everything that Kurt Warner did in a Cardinals uniform, I think it was the change that he affected in the culture of
totally
the organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that locker room, in the coaches' rooms, all over the building, it was the culture change that came during the Kurt Warner era.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And we don't know if he can still play anymore, but we do know, Wolf, there's no way you could hang at the famous, or maybe I should say infamous, basketball games that go down at Kurt's house in the backyard. Do not invite
Paul,
Wolf
the ball
over
boy
there.
The ball boy?
I won't invite Wolf over there.
Yeah, that's it. All right, back with more right after this. Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Fires over the middle. It's caught inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5. Touchdown, early Doucette. It's caught by Doucette at the 10. Spins out of a tackle at the 5. And Doucette takes it in for the touchdown. Fitzgerald wide open at the 20. Loose at the 10. Fitz is in. Larry Legend does it again in the playoffs. Ball floats out of there. Diving catch anyway by Fitz in the end zone. Touchdown. Throws over the middle. What a catch by Preston. Touchdown, Arizona.
Now, Wolf, that's not the second of the two playoff wins against Green Bay at home. That's not the no-look stiff arm.
The first one.
The first one, which is better known as the game where Kurt Warner had more touchdown passes than incompletions. 5 touchdown passes.
That was good.
4 incompletions. He joins us in the Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. You could almost say they could make a movie out of that, and we'll get to that. That's foreshadowing in a minute here, but we're picking up where we left off in terms of quarterbacks. And it seems, Kurt, you tell us there are haves and have-nots. Either you have the future of football and you have guys who can beat you with the arm and the legs, or you don't. And some teams, it seems, are really in the market more than ever for that dynamic dual-threat quarterback. Where do you think the position is evolving into as we go forward?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think the cool thing now and where the league is is that it's opened up our imagination to who can play quarterback at the NFL level. Is, you know, for the longest time, you know, say till up till maybe 15 years ago, we thought, well, you have to be a pocket passer and you have to be a drop back guy, and if you can't, you know, win from inside the pocket, you can't win in the NFL. I think that's all changed. Our mindset has completely changed in how you can play and win at this level. Russell Wilson has shown us that. Lamar Jackson winning the MVP has shown us that. Deshaun Watson, young guy, and what he's done early in his career has shown us that. And so I think it's opened up the imagination to how we look at the quarterback position. And that to me is exciting, because I'm still a firm believer that you still have to play inside the pocket if you're going to win at the highest level. And so that has to be an aspect. But there's other ways to win, and you can build around quarterbacks that have different skill sets. It doesn't have to just be a drop-back guy. So I love where our league is. I love the imagination and how you can look at different guys now. You can create different offenses to fit the skill set of a playmaker at the quarterback spot. But I will say, I'm still a firm believer that you have to be able to play inside the pocket if you're going to win a championship, even if you're a dynamic playmaker.
It's just an incredible thing, Kurt. When you look at Tom Brady, he's going to be a free agent. He is a free agent, as a matter of fact. Phillip Rivers, of course, the same thing. Drew Brees, I don't think Drew Brees is going anywhere, but once again, he is technically a free agent. Eli Manning says he's had enough right here. These are traditional pocket passers, these guys, and we live in an era now where Ryan Tannehill is actually favored over a Phillip Rivers. That blows my mind.
It does. And again, you know, I'm still a firm believer that I'll take the proven commodity over the guy that's done it really well for a year. You know, but it's just, it's fun to watch, because so much of it is finding the right spot. You know, being able to find a system that fits what you do. And, you know, that to me is what's been fun about the league, is that, you know, these drop-back passers can still win if they find the right system, can still play at a high level, but so can all these other guys. And you can get more creative offensively and see different things and bring different things to the table. And it's going to be a fascinating offseason to see how this all plays out and who goes where, and do changes take place. Because, you know, one domino falls, and specifically, you know, the Tom Brady domino, if that falls and goes somewhere else, this could be a really interesting offseason on how many moves are made and quarterbacks in different spots, and really shake things up, which will make it fun for all of us that cover it.
Are you sure you don't know on Tom Brady? Come on now, over at the NFL Network, is he going to the Chargers, the Raiders, or the Niners? Where's Tom Brady going right now?
I think he's staying right there in New England. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a lot to lose if he goes somewhere else. But you guys have been involved in the game for a long time, and we all have egos. And we all believe that we can go anywhere and do anything. And, you know, I'm sure there's a part of the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady that says, I want to show everybody that I was a bigger reason why, or that I can win without such and such. And that doesn't have to be an asterisk. So I think that's always a part of it. But I think at the end of the day, if I'm Tom Brady and knowing the challenge of going somewhere else and creating a culture and the time that can take, I just believe his best chance to be successful, you know, right away and for the next, what, 1 or 2 years or however long he plays, is right there in New England where he's comfortable, even though they may not have all the offensive pieces that he wants.
December 18th, Ron Wolfley, that's when it's scheduled to be in theaters. Kurt and Brenda Warner are co-producing a Lionsgate feature film titled American Underdog, The Kurt Warner Story.
Yes,
we've
indeed.
Always said for how long, man, your life story should be a movie.
Yep.
And now it's reality, Kurt?
Well, you know, I'm never going to count my chickens until they're hatched, because we've been involved in this process for a long time, you know, just going through the motions and trying to find the right people to be involved, because we've always said that we'd rather not make the movie than make it wrong. We want to do it right and make sure it's the story that we want to tell, and it's inspiring and uplifting and encouraging to people. And we finally feel like we've found a team that understands our vision for the story and has a good feel for that. We've got a script in place that, not a finished project yet, but that's what has everybody excited, has Lionsgate excited. And so the process really is ramped up over the last couple of weeks, in which they said, hey, we like this so much, we like the story, we like where the script is, that we want to make it our holiday release, you know, because that's the time that's all about uplifting and encouraging, inspiring people, and it's a big, obviously, you know, one of the two big movie release times throughout the year, and so all of that stuff is awesome, and we're excited about that process. But again, there's a lot of work that has to go into getting to that point, and we understand that, and but we're going to ride the ride, and we're going to be involved, and we're going to try to get it done right, so it can have a big impact on people of all ages and no matter what they want to do in life.
So, Kurt, if the script isn't even written yet, obviously you have not started shooting it all in any way,
shape,
or form.
No, we haven't started shooting. The script is written. At least one version of the script is written, but it's an ongoing process with that. But I think that's the cool part, is that when you go to shoot a movie, a lot of times I think in your mind you think, hey, we're going to shoot it from page 1 to page 120 or whatever that is. With a movie, you can shoot different parts at different times. And so even though certain parts are being fleshed out, you know, when the movie's going to start and what time period it's going to take place in, there's still a lot of the script that we really like and that is really solid, where you feel like, hey, we can move forward and we could tape all of that stuff as we're continuing to fine-tune the rest of the process. So, again, it's a lot of stuff I don't understand, Wolf.
Yeah.
And it's not my expertise. But like I said, you know, for us it's about getting it right. And we feel like we've got the right people in place to do that, but we're also going to make sure it's done right. And so, you know, whatever that means in the process, if, you know, God forbid we had to move it back, you know, a while to make sure that it was done right, I think everybody's on board for that. But they love to have deadlines and things to shoot for, and kind of pushes us forward. And so we're excited that it really looks like now, with the team that we've got, that this thing is going to come to fruition. Hopefully it's in that December time period, and we get the movie that we want.
But Kurt, man, you just seem like a guy that has to be there, a hands-on guy that has to be there while you're shooting. Am I wrong about that?
We'll see on the shooting process. I've been heavily involved in the script writing process, because that to me is, I think, where you win or lose is in writing the script and having the right story and being able to kind of reach the masses and, you know, tell the bigger picture story and what all went into it. And so I've been more heavily involved in that. I don't know what the shooting process and all that will be about. They want us to be as involved as we want to be. So that wouldn't surprise me as I, you know, mm-hmm. go through this to be a part of the entire process. But I've really enjoyed, and I've always enjoyed writing. And so being able to kind of to put that together and work with some of the writers to use my bigger vision and for them to fine-tune it into a script has been really fun.
Who's playing the lead, and how much Cardinals-era stuff will there be?
Well, the lead, we don't know that yet. They're reaching out to different people and seeing availability, obviously, with this
Chris Pratt, right?
So quickly and you know, going to be shooting so quickly. They got to make sure who's available and who fits. And as you said, a lot of that's going to come down to the time period in which the movie takes place. And that's really been one of the things that's been fascinating throughout the entire process, is all the different people and the different, you know, kind of eras or different places that the movie could start and stop. You know, there's the beginning stages,
sure.
Obviously, from the grow-up, you know, that time period. Obviously, you could end it with the Super Bowl win, because a lot of people see that. And then there's the second chapter that a lot of people think is more fascinating than the first. And so I'm not going to give any of that away. So we're still piecing that together to figure out exactly what that time period is. But that's going to determine a lot of who plays the lead role and what age they need to be and all of that.
Okay, near future, Saturday, February 22nd, Brenda and Kurt Warner's Celebrity Game Night, and it's benefiting the Treasure House, and you're honoring Gonzo, D-backs legend and philanthropist Luis Gonzalez. Give us a quick game plan on that, what folks can expect.
Yeah, I mean, we started the fundraiser, you know, this will be our third year, and it was really just, hey, what do we like to do at home when the family gets together? And we always play games. Every kind of game you could imagine, but it's a way for all of us to come together and build memories and have fun. So we started a fundraiser a couple years ago where that's exactly what we do, is we sell out a place and we just play games. We bring audience members up. You know, Gonzo, like you said, this year, me and Gonzo will be playing against each other, or Team Gonzo and Team Warner. And it's just an interactive, fun night in which we're just trying to bring awareness and raise money for Treasure House. And it's different and it's fun. We've already made more money through sponsorships and what have you at this point, still over a week away, than we made last year at the event. And so it's been incredible, the support that we've gotten. It's been awesome to have the guys. We've got Shane Doan, Larry Fitzgerald, and Gonzo to be kind of our celebrity that we celebrate, guys in the community, guys that have meant a lot to this community over the first 3 years. So it's kind of like the Mount Rushmore of Arizona sports. But we're just looking for everybody and anybody to come out. Everybody's going to enjoy it. Doesn't really matter, you know, what you're into, and that's what we've noticed. If anybody wants to get involved, treasurehouse.org/game night. You can get tickets and find out what it's all about. But we're looking for another great night.
Nice. treasurehouse.org/game night. There you go.
Do you still have the kung fu grip, Kurt? Do you still have that, or did you keep the gloves?
I still got the gloves. It's so funny that now, you know, because I coach high school ball and I'm always out throwing with guys, I don't even feel normal if I don't have my gloves on when I'm throwing a football. You know, for the longest time, it would be like, I can't throw with gloves. And once I went to the gloves, now even when I'm in my backyard, I got to pull the gloves out and wear them. It just feels normal.
That's awesome.
But the only thing better was when I saw you coaching against dads in flag football. And dads are over there, and they're like, wait a minute, Kurt Warner's on the other sideline. The only thing that would have completed that is if you would have had the gloves on as well.
Kurt, thank you, man.
I don't use it so much when I'm coaching. Just when I'm throwing.
Appreciate you, Kurt. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Kurt.
Oh, you bet, guys. Good talking to you.
Yep, the Big Red Rage continues, all presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Here comes Kyler Murray, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft and the future of the franchise, takes the field for the first time.
That is a great throw, a great read by Kyler Murray. Boy, you could just see it. Kyler Murray and the confidence starting to grow.
Murray rolls to the right, throws near side to Fitz, caught, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. Some Murray magic for Arizona.
They have seen the Heisman Trophy winner, a winner his whole life, the leadership skills, backing it up with his play.
Everything we saw, and you heard right there on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network, Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, about Kyler Murray in year one, your NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. And Kurt Warner just told us, quote, he hasn't even scratched the surface yet, end quote. Think about that, Ron Wolfley. Think about what Jake Plummer told us 2 weeks ago when he said, and I quote, I'm not sure he knows how good he can really be. .. The potential.
No doubt, Paulie.
Everything that he did and how many times he didn't look like a rookie in year one. Starting 16 games and then the potential that is still left and guys who have played the position at a very high level like Jake Plummer and Kurt Warner, that's one of the first things they cite is how much room there is for him to improve as he goes forward.
No doubt about it. You know, Paulie, it's interesting because there's an old saying that says experience's impact on perspective is profound. And when you think of perspective, what is the most important perspective of any player on the field? When you have a game of football going on and you've got the offense on the field and the defense on the field, it's all about the quarterback and his perspective. Defensive coordinators try to do what? Change their perspective, right? Change the quarterback's perspective. Offensive coordinators, of course, trying to simplify the perspective for a quarterback. To me, it's incredible, the experience factor and the way that's going to impact Kyler Murray and his confidence going forward.
You know, historically, defensive coordinators would lose sleep over an experienced quarterback. That quarterback who's seen everything. Man, what can I throw at this quarterback in this week's game plan?
Yep.
He's been there and done that, and he's seen that. Kurt Warner was that guy.
Yes.
But now, in today's NFL, I'm not sure what's more daunting if you're a defensive coordinator, that grizzled veteran who's seen it all, done it all, or a kid like Kyler Murray who can beat you in so many different ways with the arm and the legs.
Yeah, you know what, Paulie? I think it's just going to be a prerequisite to playing the position well. It's one of the reasons why, again, look at it. Tom Brady is a free agent. Tom Brady can still play, and he's a free agent. He's done a few things, Paulie, as we all know, right, in the NFL. You look at Phillip Rivers. He's out there. Drew Brees is a guy that is a free. Eli Manning called it a career. You know, these are statue quarterbacks. Look at them, and yet they look like dinosaurs suddenly in this league, right? And Tom Brady, think about that. Phillip Rivers. Not getting a ton of action either. It's just amazing to me. I think it's going to be a prerequisite to playing the quarterback position in the National Football League from this point forward that you can run.
So what'd you think of when Kurt Warner said, one thing has not changed, though, and that's that any quarterback still has to have the ability to beat a defense from the pocket.
Yes, I don't think that's going to change, but I think you've got to have the ability to do other stuff as well, Paulie. Does that make sense? Like, you just can't be a pocket quarterback anymore in the NFL. Listen, Lawrence Taylor came into the league, and everybody was looking for the next Lawrence Taylor. Everybody, every defensive coordinator, every general manager, every owner, they were all looking for the next Lawrence Taylor, right? Because he changed the game. I think right now what is happening, especially in terms of Lamar Jackson and looking at Lamar Jackson, I think he's going to single-handedly change the quarterback position. John Harbaugh has been alluding to it. He's been hitting at it. I think he's going to change the position. I think Kyler Murray's going to be part of that change. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is a great example.
Yeah, sure.
Here's a guy you could stand up in the pocket, Paulie, last all day long in the pocket. But I think you're going to demand more out of your quarterback to be able to run and move out of that pocket when things break down, and Patrick Mahomes can do that.
I think of Lamar Jackson, the end of his rookie year and that disastrous playoff game when he couldn't beat a defense from the pocket. Then you think of Lamar Jackson in year two, and he led the NFL with 36 touchdown passes. Think of the growth from year one to year two and winning the MVP.
Huge, Paulie.
So that's where Kyler Murray is right now. Between year one and year two, you had a chance to talk with Michael Bidwill, the chairman and president of the Arizona Cardinals. He was part of your Newsmakers Week. I like to call it Decision Makers Week, if you will. Name Dropper Week.
Newsmakers, Paul.
And so there he was on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports, and he was given sort of a state of Kyler update here in the offseason.
This offseason is going to be critical for him. And, Cliff's been talking a lot with him about the things he needs to be doing, the people he needs to be speaking with, taking that next level of his professional career. This is a really important offseason. He's doing everything right. So he understands the hard work that needs to be put in, and he's doing it.
We know he has the skill set, but when he has the mindset, when a week after the season ends and we see him in the Cardinals weight room here at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center, when you hear quotes like, "I don't play to be mediocre," that mm-hmm. just resonates with me more than anything else, because you know he can do it physically, but if mentally, if he has the commitment, he has the discipline, and he has that hunger as well, look out.
Yeah, what I love about Kyler is I believe this is a guy that is confident. He's not cocky. He's confident is what he is, right? He's confident in his own abilities. And I think the experience of last year, the experience of 2019, and playing, might I add, Paulie, in all 16 games of 2019, I think this is going to pay huge dividends for the Arizona Cardinals in 2020.
In fact, Jake Plummer mentioned that as one of his big takeaways. In addition to saying I'm not sure how he knows how good he can really be, he also said that he's very yep. bullish on Kyler's confidence, that Kyler already knows he belongs. And remember, Kyler said he was reluctant to be a leader the first half of the season until he proved that he belonged, that he could play and hang with the other veterans.
Which I give him credit for.
Back right after this to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. March 5th, write it down, Season 3 on YouTube of the Emmy Award-winning series Flight Plan. Evolution of Kyler Murray is the debut edition here in 2020. The Evolution of Kyler Murray, hashtag all access, Ron Wolfley. It is back. I don't know if you say it debuts or if you're one of the kids out there. It drops on March 5th.
Trying to think to myself, where could Kyler Murray improve, right? Leadership, just continue to grow as a leader right there. The more you do, Paulie, the more you can actually say, never forget that. That's what leadership is all about. Doing first and then being able to say. I think he can continue to expand that. His influence, I would say, in that locker room, his dogged determination to do nothing but win. The impact that has on practice as well. He demands that you practice like you play and you play like you practice. Very, very interesting to watch that. I think the intangibles is where he can improve a lot.
Remember what Patrick Peterson told the media about midseason? Pat came back and he said there was a moment where he grabbed Kyler Murray and said, "You're the CEO. You're the player,
like that ball.
CEO of this team. If nothing else, by default, you're the future franchise quarterback. You are the franchise quarterback in so many ways right now. You're the face of this team, to quote Patrick Peterson directly. And so just by the nature of the position that he plays, it's so critical that he is that leader. And we really saw a lot of growth. We saw it even on the road, the way he interacted with guys that final month of the season.
The other thing I would say for the tangible part, Paulie, is the fact that I think he can improve in the pocket in not taking some unneeded sacks from time to time. That's where I think he can improve. But can you imagine for a rookie to cite that over everything else? That's incredible.
Hey, special thanks as always, Jim Omohundro, Mitch Vareldis. Special thanks to Kurt Warner, the gloved one, treasurehouse.org/game night. That is the website for the charity event coming up February 22nd. For Ron Wolfley, I'm Paul Calvisi. This has been the Big Red Rage.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.